Justice Subcommittee, Justice Subcommittee, and welcome to the basement. We're going to get started. You can call the roll, Sue.
Senator Perry?
Here.
Senator Brandis? Senator Bracey?
Here.
Senator Flores? Senator Pizzo?
Here.
Quorum present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anybody wishing to speak, please fill out an appearance card. All the bills, members, are by members here. So we're going to get started, and we're going to start on tab one. Senator Pizzo, you are recognized to explain SB 920, DNA database.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if we could take up the barcode amendment first, which basically results in what the bill is intended.
Sure. So we're going to take up barcode 741628. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment is to include the existing statute where probable cause is found for the issuance of a warrant as it relates to a DNA, typically DNA CODIS hit on a match. The amendment would allow for either the arrest or to obtain a confirmatory DNA sample from the suspect. And that's the amendment.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Are there any appearance cards on the amendment? Matt Puckett, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Just real quickly, I want to thank Senator Pizzo for sponsoring this amendment and this legislation for us. This is something that was kind of brought up by our members from kind of the ground level up to our level to bring to you. We think this is a good addition to the current legislative intent language. There are, you know, people that are committing very serious crimes where you have DNA evidence and you have to go get this corroborating swab. And we're concerned that that may tip them off, making them a flight risk or more of a danger once that analysis is complete. They come back with to arrest and the offender is there with bad intentions. So we greatly appreciate this and urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. We're on debate on the amendment. Any debate on the amendment? See no debate. You recognize closing your amendment?
I'll waive on the amendment.
Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing no objection, let's show that amendment adopted. So we're on the bill as it amended. We didn't really have questions on that. If we want any questions that we have on the bill as amended. Seeing no, we do have some appearance cards. Barney Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, Smart Justice, waives in support of this good bill.
Thank you. Matt Puckett.
We're going to waive in support.
Thank you. No more appearance cards. Debate. Any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Senator Fisher, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just briefly, to Mr. Puckett's point in his testimony, I tried to vet this with a number of meetings back and forth because what this bill is doing is if it provides for the judge to go ahead and issue a warrant for arrest as opposed to a confirmatory DNA sample, I just want to be clear because my concern as a former prosecutor was that the clock starts ticking on arrest. And we've had a number of, obviously, this is an issue where whether it's kits, whether it's DNA samples, the return of those have taken sometimes several months, even in excess of a year. And on a speedy trial, the natural speedies are 175 days on a felony, 90 days on a misdemeanor. But if someone puts in for a speedy trial demand on 60 days, even with a recapture, I didn't want to have to put the state attorneys in a process where they're expediting so fast they can't get that response back. But with assurances from Mr. Puckett and a concern where if a hit is confirmatory or is a match on something serious like a sexual battery with a prior conviction, it gives the judge the discretion to go ahead and opt for an arrest instead of just a confirmatory DNA, which will already have to be had. So I appreciate members' support on this bill.
Thank you, Sue. Please call the roll for CS for SB 920.
Senator Bracey?
Yes.
Senator Flores? Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Brandis? Chair Perry?
Yes. All right, so CS for SB 920 is reported favorably. Members, we're moving to tab two. We're just going to go right down the list in order. This is SB 1030, Mitigating Circumstances and Sentencing by Senator Bracey. You are recognized to explain. And I guess you have a delete all?
Yes.
All right, yes. Let's do that. Let's take up the delete all. That's barcode 215974. You're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This strike all amendment allows for a court to mitigate a criminal punishment code sentence based on substance addiction, predating the actual offense. This mitigating circumstance would apply to offenses committed on or after July 1st, 2019, which is the effective date of the bill. Currently, courts are authorized to depart downward from the lowest permissible sentence under the Criminal Punishment Code in the event of specific mitigating circumstances. Prior to the adoption of the code in 1998, substance abuse was listed in statute as a mitigating circumstance. However, the legislature removed this mitigating circumstance, then later permitted it under very specific conditions relating to certain offenders in a drug court program. The Strike-All Amendment comprehensively makes conforming changes so that offenses committed before July 1st, 2019 will be subject to the mitigating circumstances related to substance addiction that were in law before July 1st, 2019. That's the Strike-All.
Questions? Senator Brandis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just so we're clear, this used to be a mitigating circumstances, and then it was removed, and we're putting it back, correct?
That is correct.
All right, thanks.
Yep.
Further questions? Appearance cards, we're on the amendment. And any debate? Senator Bracey, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
I waive.
Is there any objection to the amendment? See no objection, so that amendment adopted. So we're on the bill as amended. And appearance cards, Greg Newburn.
Families and support.
Thank you. Chelsea Murphy. Should leave in support. Andy Thomas. You're recognized.
Thank you, sir. Members, Senator Bracey, thank you for doing this. Here on behalf of the Florida Public Defender Association, this is a much-needed amendment to get us back to prior law. I just want to point out we still have the safeguards of a judge making findings of fact for a downward departure. There's quite a bit that has to happen in order for this departure sentence to be imposed. But with the number of people that we have in the Department of Corrections for nonviolent drug offenses, certainly treatment should be an alternative that the state is looking at. We appreciate this, and we think it will make a big difference. Thank you.
Thank you. Barney Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, Smart Justice waives in support of this good bill.
Thank you. Scott McCoy.
SPLC Actors on waives in support.
And Kara Gross.
She had to step out, but ACLU waives in support.
Good. Thank you. That's the appearance cards. Any debate? Members, any debate on this bill? See no. Senator Bracey, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you. I'll waive.
Thank you. Sue, please call the roll for CS for SB 1030.
Senator Bracey?
Yes.
Senator Flores?
Yes.
Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Chair Perry?
Yes. By your vote, sir, CS for SB 1030 is reported favorably. All right, members, moving to tab 3. This is SB 1074, sentencing by Senator Brandis. You are recognized to explain your bill. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have a delete all. So let's take that up. That's amendment barcode 940794. Senator Brandis, you're recognized to explain your delete all amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this bill is a combination of many of the bills we've already passed through this committee. It updates the felony threshold from $300 to $1,500, but we're going to bring that back down in line with what was passed out of appropriations in the next committee. Sorry. Okay. This one. Sorry. There we go. Back reset. There we go. Gotcha. All right. Barcode 940794 changes the type of sentence from a split probationary sentence to a conditional sentence, creates a conditional sentencing option for substance use or mental health offenders, which includes a period of incarceration in an in-prison treatment program or either an either drug offender or mental health probation, specifies eligibility criteria for the offender to be sentenced under a conditional sentencing option, requires an offender sentenced under this provision to be supervised by a drug court if he or she is released on drug offender probation in county that has been established a drug court, or by mental health court if she is released in a county that has a mental health court, requires a DOC to develop a computerized system to track recidivism data for these offenders and provide an annual report to the governor and the legislature. That is the amendment.
Questions? Members, any questions? Appearance cards on the amendment? Seeing none. Any debate? Seeing no debate, you recognize the closing your amendment?
No waive.
Any objection to the amendment? Seeing no objection, show that amendment adopted. So we're on the bill as amended, and we have appearance cards. Judge Stephen Leifman. Leifman.
Thank you, sir. Mr. President.
You're recognized.
Pleasure. Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for the opportunity. Senator Brandis, we can't thank you enough for this legislation. I chair the Florida Supreme Court's Steering Committee on Problem-Solving Courts. This is a piece of legislation that we strongly support. I want to particularly thank Judge May from the 4th DCA, who has worked tirelessly on this legislation for several years. In Florida, there are about 120,000 to 130,000 people a year who at the time of their arrest have acute mental illnesses. For people with substance abuse disorders, it's even higher. And while Florida's prison population has started to slow, unfortunately, the mental health population is skyrocketing. In fact, during the same period of time, it's gone up by about 153%. It's growing so fast in Florida that if we don't do something soon to curb the growth, Florida's going to need to build 10 new prisons over the next 10 years just for its mental health population. And they're not committing heinous offenses. The average stay for someone with a serious mental illness in Florida's prison is only 2.5 to 4 years. They're accumulating points. And the problem is when they leave prison, they have no warm handoff, they get a bag of medication, and they get back sent to the community without any supports. This wonderful legislation will help us keep them in treatment, get them in treatment, and make sure that they don't become recidivists in our system, and same with the substance abuse population. So we really appreciate your support, and thank you all very, very much.
Thank you. George Mizzo.
On behalf of the Florida Association of Criminal Defense Board, waiving support.
Thank you. Chelsea Murphy.
Threat and crime, waiving support.
Thank you. Greg Newbern.
Fam, waiving support.
Joe Guan.
Florida Council for Behavioral Health, waiving support.
Thank you. Kara Gross.
She stepped out. ACLU waives in support.
Barney Bishop.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I'm with the ACLU. We're pledging in support of this good bill.
Thank you. And Scott McCoy.
SGLC Action waives in support.
Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Any debate on this bill?
Just briefly, Mr. Chair. Just want to take a minor point of privilege and recognize Judge Leifman. This is the first time he's walked into a room and I haven't stood for him. I've had dozens of cases, I think, in front of him, a couple trials to verdict, and I just want to commend him publicly for the outstanding, amazing best practices work that he does in this field. And I apologize to you, Your Honor, for not standing when you walked up. Thank you.
Thank you. Debate? Any more debate? Senator Brandis, you're recognized to close in your bill. Sue, please call the roll on CS for SB 1074.
Senator Bracey?
Yes.
Senator Flores?
Yes.
Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Chair Perry?
Yes. And by your vote, sir, CS for SB 1074 is reported favorably. Members, we're moving to tab 4. SB 1334, Criminal Justice, by Senator Brandis. Now you're on track.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the bill I previously explained. The bill updates the felony threshold. We're going to adjust it in the next committee to 750, which is the agreed-upon amount out of appropriations. It authorizes the court to depart from mandatory minimum sentences. You've already heard this bill, and it's passed out of this committee. Here's the one new provision of the bill. It limits the enhancements for drug offenses based on drug-free zones to the sale or manufacture of a controlled substance in any drug-free zone and reduces the range of specified drug-free zones from 1,000 feet to 250 feet. We did a study a couple few years back on the effectiveness of drug-free zones. They were not shown to be effective, largely because there are situations where people get pulled over and they happen to be within 1,000 feet of a drug-free zone, and because of their in possession of the drug in their car as they were driving through, they are charged with having or possessing within a drug-free zone and are facing an enhanced sentence. The drug-free zones in the state were originally designed to keep people out of school zones, and I think everybody intends to keep people out of school zones. And then the nursing home said, well, we'd like 1,000 feet from the nursing homes. And the child care center said, well, we'd like 1,000 feet from the child care centers. And then the ALF said, well, we'd like 1,000 feet from the ALFs. And then the convenience stores said, well, we'd like 1,000 feet from the convenience stores. So basically, the only place that you can possess drugs and not be in a drug-free zone is the 18th grade of Mar-a-Lago. This creates this problem where if we really want to just enhance the drug sentencing, just enhance them everywhere, but let's not create an opportunity for drug-free zones to be used as a hammer when that was never the intent in these areas, especially if they're not trafficking, but if they're manufacturing or if they're selling in those markets, then clearly that would fall within the boundaries of why we wanted drug-free zones. So that's why we've addressed that issue. This legislation gives the Department of Corrections the ability to adopt rules and extend places of confinement for certain offenders in order to participate in a supervised community release program. We've passed this bill out of the committee. The bill provides immunity, arrest, charge, prosecution, or penalty for creation of alcohol-related drug offenses, certain drug offenses. That has passed out of this committee as well. It authorizes the Department of Corrections to consider allowing inmate to participate in a supervised community release program. That's passed out of this committee. It authorizes counties to establish a supervised bond program for eligible defendants. That's also passed out of this committee. It expands the conditional medical release process by creating a new designation for conditional medical release. That's passed out of this committee. And finally, it moves away from using pill weights as a mechanism to charge individuals trafficking over to quantities of those pills. That has also passed out of this committee. There is one amendment.
Are there any questions? All right, we'll move into the amendment, barcode 537118. You're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment makes two technical changes, including correcting the term offender to defendant in the provision related to the use of risk assessment instruments and pretrial determinations, and modifying the supervised community release program to allow an inmate to be released for up to 180 days prior to release rather than the 90 days which appeared in last year's bill. But the 180 days is what was in this year's bill and which passed out of this committee.
Questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Appearance cards and amendments? Seeing none. Any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate. You recognize the close. He waves close. Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, show that amendment adopted. So we're on the bill as amended. Appearance cards. Barney Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, Smart Justice would like to see only drug dealing on the 18th green in Mar-a-Lago, but we will wave in support of the
Andy Thomas.
Public defender is waiving support.
Thank you. Demetrius Minor.
Americans for Prosperity waiving support.
Sean Foster.
Real quick. Sean Foster. Thank you, Chairman. Our issue is really just the language that's in Senate Bill 534. We support the rest of the bill. As you know, that bill passed out of the committee last week with some concerns from this committee. That part of the language there has to do with the supervised bond program, the electronic monitoring and the risk assessments, and we continue to work with the sponsor and appreciate his open door to us.
Thank you. Chelsea Murphy.
I have crime waves in support.
Thank you. Greg Newbern.
Fam waves in support.
Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Any debate on this bill? Seeing no debate, Senator Branch, you're recognized to close on your bill. Wave closed suit. Please call the roll for CS for SB 1334.
Senator Bracey?
Yes.
Senator Flores? Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Chair Perry?
Yes. By your vote, show CS for SB 1334 is reported favorably. Next members, we're moving on to tab 5, and this is Crime Stoppers Program by Senator Gruters, and Senator Pizzo will be explaining the bill. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 1766 would establish that communications between a person and a Crime Stoppers organization is considered privileged within the Florida Evidence Code. The bill definition of privileged communication is an act providing information to a Crime Stoppers organization, law enforcement Crime Stoppers coordinator, or his or her staff, or a member of the Crime Stoppers organization's board of directors for the purpose of reporting alleged criminal activity. That is the bill.
Thank you. Questions? Members, any questions? Any appearance cards? Barney Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, Smart Justice waves in support of this good bill.
Thank you. We're in debate. Any debate on this bill? Seeing no debate, Senator Pizzo, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will wave close.
Thank you, Sue. Please call the roll for SB 1766.
Senator Bracey?
Yes.
Senator Flores? Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Brandis? Yes. Chair Perry?
Yes, and by your vote, show SB 1766 reported favorably. Members, we're moving on to tab 6. This is SBB 7082. Criminal justice relating to controlled substances, and I'm going to recognize Mike Erickson, who's going to explain this committee bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The proposed bill amends Florida's controlled substance schedule to reschedule a drug product from Schedule 1 to Schedule 5. The drug product is a finished dosage formulation which has been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which contains cannabidiol, or CBD, that's derived from cannabis with no more than 0.1% tetrahydrocannabinols, or THC. This scheduling language currently applies only to Epidiolex, which is a pharmaceutical oral solution which contains highly purified CBD and which is used for the treatment of seizures associated with two rare and severe forms of epilepsy. Epidiolex is the only CBD product that's approved by the FDA. The bill codifies an emergency rule of the adopted by the Florida Attorney General, which reschedules this described drug product from Schedule 1 to Schedule 5, and the scheduling is consistent with federal law.
Thank you. Any questions?
Question, Mr. Chair.
You recognize?
How is this drug administered?
Oral solution.
And just a follow-up.
Go ahead.
It's a fixed amount. It's not combined with anything else or diluted with anything else, correct?
No, sir.
Thank you. Senator Brandt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How will this affect the CBD stores? Will it have any effect on CBD stores?
It has no effect. It's not. This is the only drug with CBD that's actually prescribable because it's FDA approved. The low THC cannabis that's sold in medical marijuana treatment centers is subject to. It's not prescribed, and the stuff you might find at
Amazon
out in the public is still, as far as I can tell, a Schedule I controlled substance, though, you know, it may not be enforced.
Thanks. Adam. Further questions? We have appearance cards. Barney Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, Sworn Justice waves in support of this bill.
Thank you. Stephen Wynn.
Florida Osteopathic Medical Association waves in support.
Thank you. Daniel Olson. Here in support. Doug Russell.
Chairman, Greenwich Biosciences waves our time in support.
Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Any debate? Seeing none, Senator Pizzo moves that SPB 7082 be substituted as committee bill. Seeing no objection, Sue, please call the roll on SPB 7082.
Senator Bracey?
Yes.
Senator Flores? Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Brandis? Chair Perry?
Yes. And by your vote, so SPB 7082 reported favorably. Thank you all for attending a very heated discussion on all these and all the drama that we had. Seeing no business else before the Senator Brandis moves that we adjourn.